Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. In this episode, we find out why Jill generates millions for our company. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
Whether you are looking to buy your dream property for half price, start your own real estate business, or create a passive income so you can enjoy the lifestyle you've always dreamed about, you have found the right place.
By the way, we hold a drawing for a free property every single month. Enter to win the land by rating this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
All right, let's get this thing started.
Jill DeWitt is an accomplished land wholesale professional with more than 1,300 acquisitions and sales under her belt in just 6 years. Not bad for a newbie. When she's not busy buying undervalued real estate, she shares her experience and expertise with others and inspires them, to help them advance in their real estate careers. Hey, that's with Land Academy. That's my company too. Having never lived further than 400 miles from Southern California, Jill maintains her West Coast attitude and loves biking and testing the limits of her almost vintage Porsche convertible. What does almost vintage mean? Does that mean like 1980s falling apart? We'll find out. She's an avid New Orleans Saints fan. I know for sure that's not good right now. And excited to share that she's working on her next book. I have some questions about that too. Jill, I'm nothing less than honored to have you on the show as a first guest. You know, this is show number one. I just recorded episode zero, and I can't think of anything more appropriate a more appropriate guest to have than you as on episode number one. You know, we've known each other for quite some time, and we've worked together for several years now. So I was thinking before I turned on the mic about how many deals that you and I have actually done together as partner real estate deals. And I came up with a number. So, but before I blurted out, how many do you think it was just off the top of your head?
I don't know. More than 700?
It's about 1,250. I counted 1,238 in our computer system, and that seems like it's pretty close.
Nice.
So listen, the format of the new show is that I ask you several questions. Most of them are about real estate success, some other fun stuff too, hopefully. Because I'm always interested in what makes really successful people get up in the morning, and I think that I know you're one of them. So let's find out, you know, what you put in your coffee.
Thanks. Is that one of the questions?
Yeah, what do you put in your coffee? Okay, let's make that the first question.
You know what? That is a really good question. I don't take it black. It's got to be sweet. There's creamer in my coffee. I always do, and it's usually vanilla creamer. So, yep. Good question, because you know what? I bet there's a lot of different ways people take their coffee. What do you put in your coffee?
Nothing. I drink too much of it. I should drink water. I don't. I drink black coffee, like espresso, like 6 cups of it.
Got it.
So the name of the show today is, you know, as you know, it's how to buy property for half of what it's worth every single week in and week out.
Yep.
You know, I know how I used to do it, and I still do it now a little bit, but you're running the whole operations piece of our company. So, I mean, let's not delay.
Okay.
How do you do it?
It's taken years to get to this point, and basically it's a right mailer. It comes down to that. It took how many years to get to the right mailer, and I'm solving people's problems and heck, little things around that come along, like it's tax season. That sure helps too. So how do I buy it for half its worth? I mean, and I think that's what you're asking me. Is I got the right people calling me and I solve their problem.
So you have the right real estate owners calling you at the right time.
Yep.
Well, how do you get them to call you?
It took years of perfecting the right mailer to get to people.
So you sent direct mail.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Direct mail to the right people. And you know what? Mail may not be the right time. As we send out these mailers, there's a lot that come back and they immediately are, you know, where do I sign kind of thing. But there's a lot that it goes in a file and it might be 6 months from now that they call me, but then it's the right time and I'm here.
So you send out mailers every week, making offers to people who own property.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them send them back, some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you generally end up, the result of it is that you end up buying property for, you know, half of what it's worth or so.
Or half.
I mean, is it really half or is it?
Or, you know, here's how I value it. I go searching when I get an acquisition call, a potential acquisition call. One of the first things I do is go looking to see what is it worth out there. And my goal is to buy it for well under half of what the lowest is that I could find for a similar parcel. How do I do that? I'll go through, you know, like LandWatch and other places. That's a popular one that I use all the time. And I go look for the same county, the same size acreage. Sometimes I can really get into the same, you know, subdivision even, and I can see, you know, if it's something like that, you know, what the parcels are selling for. And then I know that, all right, if they're selling for, you know, $1,000, then, you know, my target price is going to be under 500, because I want to be able to turn around as a wholesaler and I want to sell it for $500, you know, and make a profit on that.
So you don't know if you're going to buy it before you check to see how much it's going to sell for. So you don't buy a property unless you know what it's going to sell for, like, and you're sure of it.
Correct.
Boy, that takes a lot of the stress out of it.
It is so nice. And that's true. Cause you know, there's a lot that I pass on. If I can't buy it right, you know, there's going to be people that are calling me and they have a property that's worth $1,000 and they want five. I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to tell them, here's what I would pay, and then I'm going to pass.
I just wrote a blog on this topic about, I think, a week or 2 weeks ago or two or three blogs ago. I can't remember. And the topic was, it kind of circles around to this topic. When new people are in the business, the first thing they ask is, man, I got this deal on the table. Should I do this deal? Steve, should I do it? I'm not sure. I'm apprehensive. It's my first time. And my thinking is, you know, if you have to ask questions like that, I don't think you should do the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should do a lot of homework long before you get to that point, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. It should be one that and you and I have talked about this, especially when you're going, it should be, oh my gosh, I better hurry up and get this deal before somebody else does.
Yeah.
That's actually what I say.
I mean, the sentence I use is, or used in that blog, I use it now when I speak to some of our members on the phone, is, you know, you should drop everything and be running to the bank and saying to yourself, man, I hope this seller doesn't change their mind. This mm-hmm. is a great deal.
Exactly. And the great thing is, once you get going in this business and you've been doing it for as long as I have, you think those are one-off deals and they're not, you know. Then it started happening monthly. I used to think, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then weekly, and now a couple times a week, you know, you get going and it's awesome.
That's why we work together.
Mm-hmm.
I know you do that. I know you're just as conservative about this as I am. You don't, mm-hmm. you know, after whatever we just said, 1,200 deals, it's tough to make a real big error, I think.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, let me move on to a few more questions here. What was the first deal that you did, and how much out-of-pocket cash did it take? And the reason that I asked, you don't know this, but I asked this question of everybody that we have on the show, regardless of whether or not they're a real estate professional or if they're successful in something else, because everybody's got that first moment or that first thing that they started to do and they had no idea. And it's like, man, I'm hooked. So what was that mm-hmm. for you?
Yeah, that was a good one. It was buying these little quarter acre properties years ago in a subdivision in New Mexico. And I started realizing I could pick up multiple ones and I'm buying them for like $75 a lot. From people who just didn't want them anymore. And it, you know, I was new and learning the system. So I would pick them up, you know, buy them, do the deeds myself, learning how to do all that. And then I didn't really have a lot of experience advertising. And back then eBay was, you know, my go-to place. So I would pretty much sell them 100% on eBay. And that's really where I cut my teeth. And it was super fun because quickly, I'm buying them for $75. I'm selling them for, I don't know, it was like $800 to $1,000 a transaction even after my fees. So when I like realized, whoa, I started looking for more and buying more. And next thing you know, I'm not spending a whole lot of time on it. And I'm making, I don't know, an extra $5,000 a month. It's on my Sundays. Wow. I mean, because they were, you know, and I learned the 30-day auction deal. So it's not like it takes that long. You know, you put it up there and just let it sit. You know, it was awesome. So that was it. Didn't cost me. Everybody can come up with $75, you know, and you need $100. Sure. You know, you need an extra $20 to record it. Everybody can come up with $100.
Yeah.
You know, to buy a property and get it recorded.
To buy a piece of real estate for $100.
Right, and then you're selling it on eBay. You don't even have to have a website yet. You know, so you can really start making money. You know, still without putting a lot out.
So. One of the top five questions I get at Land Academy is, it's not even a question. It's just flat out, I don't believe you. I don't believe that you can buy a property for $100. And I know you do it every day. I've done it for, you know, 15,000 deals later. You know, believe me, they all weren't $100, but it's not uncommon. It's great.
Well, you and I have done this. We've been out to lunch, you know, having kind of a working meeting. And it's so normal for us to talk about this. And if you really pause and, you know, you kind of look around at the tables, all of a sudden you see people are getting quiet and they're like, what are they talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, people, you're right. Our friends even, they kind of don't believe it. Yeah, I just bought that for $250. What? Right. Yes, I did.
They still don't believe
it.
Watch me,
I'll do it again.
I really don't think that they honestly believe, you know, specifically friends and people in those environments. I think that they think there's some catch. And there really isn't.
Mm-mm.
Here's the catch. It's unwanted.
Yes.
You know, they just want to, they're checking it off their list of stuff to do that month to get rid of this property. They're just not going to use it.
Yes, and they wouldn't call you if they didn't have something in the back of their head is like they're thinking about selling.
Right.
If it's their family cabin there, they're not going to call you. You know, or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, if we're sending a mailer on their family cabin for $500, we did something really wrong.
Exactly. Well, you know what I mean. But if it's something that, you know, they have that property for a reason and whatever, they're not going to call.
Right.
The fact that they pick up the phone and they call you says something right there.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. All right. So, you know, we talked about these properties, these quarter acre properties in New Mexico you were purchasing and mm-hmm. You know, what did that lead to ultimately? That realization, you know, you're buying these properties, did you think it would last forever or what did you think?
I had no idea. You know, I really had no idea how successful I would be and it would just flourish into what it is today. And I can't truly imagine doing anything else. I mean, it doesn't make and it's to, I don't even want to retire. I mean, the thought of even retiring, don't, you know, ask me that in 10 years, I might see different, but you know, even as of right now, I enjoy it. I get a kick out of it. It's fun, you know, and now I'm at the level where I get to help others and teach others and coach others, you know, with Land Academy so they can be as successful as well.
Yeah, you got bitten by the revenue bug, it sounds like, or the success bug, I guess.
I did.
For you.
I did.
What's the worst deal you ever did? It can't be all peaches and cream.
Oh, yeah. We all have those. Oh, yeah. You learn. Yeah, I got a little overexcited. I had too much cash in my pocket. I way overpaid for a property. It was dumb. It was like 5 acres in northern Arizona. I paid $5,000 for it. I don't know what I was thinking. You know, you win financially or emotionally.
Still
this was definitely
like a great deal.
This was definitely one that was an emotional purchase, not a financial purchase, because I would never look at it that way again. You know, I learned how to look at property. So, and that was it. It took me, oh my gosh, it took me, I want to say, 2 years to sell the dumb thing, and I finally had to. I took a loss. Clearly, I finally just, you know, let it go. So two things I learned is, I wish I had something like Land Academy to help me back then, you know, and show me the ropes and how to value a property.
Me too.
Gosh, would have saved so much time. And then you know, and now I know how to do the research. I learned how to do the proper research ahead of time, you know, and buy it right. And even to this day, when I'm getting acquisition calls, you know, if I'm answering the phone, and I might know this area like the back of my hand, but I'm still not going to make an offer on the phone. I'm not going to do anything without doing, there's a few steps that I go through no matter what, just to kind of double check the area and, you know, make sure it's what I think it is and all that good stuff.
So. You know, I ask a lot of extremely successful people these questions that I'm asking you. Mm-hmm. And when we get to this question, this of all the questions that I asked during the show, this question evokes the most emotion in the most positive way. So when I was designing this whole show, I thought, oh man, should I ask these people about the worst deal they ever did? And I'll tell you, and you just did it too. You have to do a bad deal or a few bad deals to realize that it really sets in motion the stuff for the rest of your life. So you don't do those anymore.
It does.
You know, because I'll look back on all the deals that I've done, especially the first few years.
Yeah.
I only remember the bad ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's not a bad thing. It's a really, really positive thing. So I think some people get real hooked up on, are caught up on, you know, making a couple of mistakes. And I think it's the greatest thing that can happen if you have the right attitude.
Right. Well, and you just touched on something right there too, is attitude. Now there's some people will throw in the towel and say, all right, forget it. I don't know what I'm doing. You have to have the right attitude and keep going forward, you know, and know that we've all made mistakes, you know, I mean,
you know what I took from what you just said is how easy is it to just say, no, I don't want to buy the property or, you know what I got in the habit of doing for a long time is never say no. But just say, yes, it works for me at X.
Yes, that's
so
what I do.
I love the, I love this 5-acre property in Arizona at $1,000. Mm-hmm. I know you're asking 19, but for me, it works at 1,000. Hey, no hard feelings. If you don't sell it, let me know 6 months from now. Maybe we can put something together.
You're exactly right. No is never no with me. There's always an open door.
Uh-huh.
I'm never truly passing. I'm only saying, well, you know, if something changes, let me know. That's how I leave it.
So you're the only woman on the planet where no doesn't mean no.
Woo, that was good.
There's
that
no
was
way,
very good.
There's no way that comment's going to make it on the air.
Oh my gosh, that was really good. Yikes, I'm going to get in trouble for that one.
No, you're not. I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Right in the first episode.
Boy,
right in the first episode.
It's funny the things you pick up on and I pick up on.
It took 18 minutes and 8 seconds into this thing.
Oh my gosh. Nice. Love it.
Oh, jeez. It's a good thing we don't put our phone numbers in the.
That's really good.
Okay, so what was the best deal you ever did? Counter question.
You know, by far, it was, and it's not the only time I've done these transactions, but there was one in particular where we were really helping someone settle an estate, and it was keeping them, they had a handful of properties, good ones, and it was keeping them from settling the last heirs to pass, you know, whatever, the last, you know, family member to pass. Keeping all these heirs from millions of dollars. So and they could care less. They just needed off their plates. So we got a couple of 40-acre parcels, some great stuff in Oregon. All kinds of great. There were six parcels altogether. We had to help with some of the, there were some legal things, so it took a little time, but all said, I probably invested $1,000 into the whole thing, and we paid them, but we really didn't really pay them for them. They were just kind of giving them to us. So say I invested a total of $1,000, but sold everything for $24,000 in three months, maybe by the time it was all done, and solved their problem, you know, and that was truly unwanted land. I mean, they could care less.
Mm-hmm.
And they called us because of a prior transaction that the father had, who passed on, had with us from years ago. I don't know if they found a letter or if he, I don't remember what the background was, if he remembered the dad talking about us or something, but basically it was like, we want you guys to have this, you know, will you do it? And for a lot of people, it was hard. It was a tough transaction. There was a lot of stuff that took some time to do, but it was worth it.
So you're choosing this deal as a best deal that you've done, not because of the raw dollars that you made, but, you know, I don't know what. Could it help people
No, raw dollars.
I don't know, because it sounds like it was complicated and you only made 25 grand.
It's really complicated. It really was. So, right. But yeah.
I can tell you enjoy what you do.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
Excellent. How about the most recent deal?
Right now, I have a signing happening on Friday. I have stuff heading to a notary and buying a couple properties from a woman in Florida this Friday. The cashier's check and everything's on its way right now. I try to do a couple of these a week. These are 1.25-acre properties. These are awesome. They're 30 miles from the Grand Canyon. I mean, just really pretty areas. Oh, it's like 80 miles from Vegas.
Exactly, right? What you're talking about. I love that county in northern Arizona, and I love that whole quality of the property up there.
Well, it was funny when I was first looking at the property, I kind of zeroed in. Thank goodness for, you know, Google Earth. It was one of those in Mojave County, and just pop the APN in there and it goes right to the parcel. Mm-hmm. So you look at the parcel and you're like, okay, and you're trying, and as you pan out, I'm like, holy cow, is that the Grand Canyon right there? It really is. So wow. I was like, wow, yeah. That was cool. And I'm buying them for, well, here's the thing. I'm buying them for $250 each. So $1,000 total. She emailed me.
Oh, you'll make 20 grand on that too.
Receipt. Well, check it out. I have her receipt. Bless her heart. Excuse me. She didn't even email. She's not even that together. She faxed me from the bank.
Wow.
It says Wells Fargo Bank on the top of the fax. She faxed me her old, the original deed and the purchase agreement from 1979. She paid $1,000 per parcel, so $4,000 plus $850 in financing. So I was looking at the receipt going, she paid close to $5,000 for these back in 1979. All right,
you'll sell them for 5 grand each now.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
Yeah, I've got all the stuff. It's just great.
What a position! What a great position to be in. You know, it's a great position to be to buy a piece of property like that. Go to the bank, spend some money on it. Mm-hmm. Now you own it, and you know you did great.
Right.
You know you did the right decision. You know you're going to make money, and then to sit there and kind of say to yourself, "All right, do I want to save some of them? Do I want to sell all of them? Should I mark this one up completely and sell it for cash?" You know, those kinds of deals, I love selling one property. So you got 4 properties there, I think you said.
Mm-hmm.
Sell
yeah.
one property for cash, make back your whole investment. Mm-hmm. And the other 3 properties you sell on terms for the next 10 or 12 years, making a couple hundred bucks a month on it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's just, it's a position of control, you know. And in the finance world, there's no better position to be in when you can control assets like that. And there's no lender. And there's no real estate agents, and there's not a lot of people breathing down your neck about how you're making decisions every day. You just, you can, as a private investor, you control the real estate and decide what to do. So, man, that's excellent. Hey, I like that deal more than the one before that.
This is true. This was one of those super easy, all in one person's name. It's the person I'm talking to. You know, I get them all the time. I almost can't do them fast enough. You know,
what you mean.
Mm-hmm. It's great. I love it. And she's, bless her heart, she's like so excited to be, you know, getting the $1,000 right now. It's really helping her out.
You know, I've been doing that. I've been doing what you do for years and years and years, and I have never had problems. You know, there's always kind of one thing that you just, it's like, man, I wish I could just, it's never been finding transactions or pricing them or selling them or any of that. The biggest thing I've struggled with since the beginning of doing this is getting organized enough to the point where you could actually buy all the property that people want you to buy.
Yes.
I know you have 20 or 30 of those just waiting to be done.
It's true.
And because I had your job in the same company for a long time. And it's like, man, if I had 60 virtual assistants, I still can get these jobs done, or still can get these deals done.
Yes, you are correct.
All right, back to the what we're talking about. So, what was the biggest obstacle to your success? And you can go back to when you're a kid if you want.
Well, I was born a just kidding.
I was born
a poor Southern California beach child.
Who's not capable of saying no.
Had a horrible life of Disneyland and Laguna Beach.
You were born a woman who doesn't mean no.
From a loving family. And, let's see. With a dad with an airline captain. I mean, that was awful. No. So, no, that's funny. You know, I guess my biggest obstacle, I didn't see this for what it was worth back then. This is what's funny. I was in my early 20s and I got a job in Santa Ana working for a couple of developers, kind of doing a version of this, but it was strip malls back then. And they would buy it, or office buildings, and they would buy the land and they develop it and they'd lease it out, and, you know, great gig. And I was like, this is pretty good. I'm watching these checks come in, you know, once it's built and things are paid off, you know, they just sit back and cash these checks. But it was a small company. I kind of had worked myself up to as far as I could go. It was kind of me under the owners. And I thought, well, I've seen the end, you know, kind of thing. Duh. What was I thinking? I just want to travel. So I went and got this corporate job and, you know, punching a time clock, and I had regular vacation, and I'm thinking I'm going to, because there was room to grow. So I thought that's what I wanted, you know, and I just got stuck there, you know, and it's amazing. Looking back, had I not done that, and I had stayed in that environment, man, especially in Southern California back then, and property. I know the stuff that they're buying. And back then, Riverside wasn't what it is today. And,
sure.
You know, even Orange County wasn't what it is today. Gosh, what if I would have stayed and really, you know, studied what I could and learned from those guys, who knows where I'd be. So that's... So my obstacle, I guess, was I got stuck in the corporate world.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm back.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't imagine ever doing that again. I really can't. There's no way.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
Corporate jobs get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So cool you're from California. Do you know that?
I love it too. Thanks. It's
I'm
a good place.
I'm from Detroit, and it's just, I can't imagine how different the whole thing is. I think it's great.
It is. A little different mindset. Everybody, I know it frustrates you sometimes because you and I've had that conversation about, is this how people in California do things? And my answer is yes. You know?
Inefficiently.
Wait, hold on a moment. So inefficiently. I would say we have a different attitude. Let's go with that. So it's not like we take siesta, you know, every afternoon and for 4 hours. I mean...
Okay.
Come on. We get stuff done, but we'd certainly do things differently. That's very true.
Well, that parlays me into my next question. What events could convince you to quit that job you just talked about? The corporate job.
I got to the point where I was losing money. I knew that I was losing money and missing deals because I was tied up in that world. I mean, and I tried to do both. I was kind of like, it took over, you know, once I, you know, doing it on the weekends wasn't enough. And calls don't necessarily come in on the weekends. It's not always that convenient. And I was really trying to literally computers next to each other. It was the funniest thing where I'm trying to do one, you know, I take a break to spend some time on this. And my regular job never suffered. I mean, I would always hit my numbers. Everything was great. Everybody loved me. And it was kind of funny because when I did leave, everybody kind of thought, well, it was two things. One, like, you know, we saw this coming. We're going to miss you. And then, do you have a job for me? That's what was the funniest thing. I'm not kidding. You may or may not know this. I have a couple people from my last position that I keep up with. Well, more than my last position, other positions, but have stayed in touch that they're you know, waiting with bated breath for me to pick up the phone and say, I need you now. And because they're going to be right here, you know, then they're excited and supportive. And that's what happened. I just basically, I was losing money. It did not make sense for me to sit there and do that anymore.
You're losing money going to your regular job. That's exactly what happened to me. That was what pushed me over the edge.
Yeah.
You know, in episode zero, I tell this story called All My Friends Think I'm a Drug Dealer. And it's the same thing with your friends. You know, because I tell the story literally that these a lot of my friends pulled me aside one time and said, we're really concerned about you. You know, we think you're dealing drugs because you don't seem like you're doing anything for a living at all.
Exactly. And you're always available.
So once I convinced them that's not the case, all they asked me was, well, how can I do that? And it just became, instead of the intervention that they thought they were going to have with me, it became a, you know, it was the beginning stages of Land Academy. This is 20 years ago, probably.
Yep.
You know, well, teach me how to do it.
Exactly.
What a great feeling, isn't it? To, you know, man, I'm losing money going to this job.
It is.
Was it hard? It's a
little, you know, it's funny you say that. No, I got to say no.
Yeah.
I pushed to the point where there was no fear.
Yeah, me too.
I was way past that.
I agree.
There's no fear at all. I just, because I knew there's going to be another deal around the corner because I've proven it times 10.
This is how I convinced myself. I looked at what I owned free and clear. Like just that, what you just described with those four properties in close to the Grand Canyon. So I had tons and tons and tons of those. And I said, you know what? If I quit my regular job and that money turns off, that valve turns off, I have XYZ amount of money here. And everything goes wrong. I don't buy any more property. I'm going to be fine for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So that's what pushed me over the edge. It's like, let's, you know, now's the time to test it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there are a few safety nets. I mean, but they're safety nets I created for myself. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you did too.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Good for you. I can't imagine going, no, it doesn't matter. I can't imagine going back to a normal job.
Mm-mm.
So I don't know.
Yep.
So we all need acquisition deal flow in life. You know, we need to make sure that all the deals come in regularly, kind of have a system. What do you do every day to make sure that this happens? You're clearly doing it right.
Two things. I make sure that we have quality data available, period, and good, solid mailers are going out every week. That's number one. And so I never worry about deal flow. And then if just as an added safety net, if you will, to use your term, I micromanage the tax deed environment. You know, I'm always kind of keeping an eye out on great properties. You know, you get into the system with the counties and they'll send you lists, you know, of what's coming up and for sale, over-the-counter sales and auctions coming up, all kinds of good stuff. So,
you know, I don't do it
as much anymore. I don't, but I still keep an eye on it. And it's fun for me. I haven't been to one in a while and I need to.
I just got an email from your department. I think it might have been directly from you, like a week ago, that one of the counties here in Arizona, they're having a surplus over the OTC, over-the-counter tax kind of auction, closed bid, sealed bid thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I look, there's five pages.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is what you mean by kind of keeping your one eye open on these tax situation. And I read through that. I mean, there's like 250 acre properties in there for 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I completely understand what you're saying by not really ever walking away from the tax deed situation.
True. But it's a great fallback.
It is. I ran the whole company in the early 2000s on just tax deeds before I realized how productive mailers could be.
Right.
So yeah, I've got two students right now who just do tax sales and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
So, you know, how many deals are in the pipeline right now, ballpark?
You know, I was just looking at that. I have like, as of this moment today, I have about 90 properties that are waiting for me to review. There's probably more. And I try to close, gosh, I don't know, 4 to 10 deals a week. And when I say deals, that doesn't mean it might be a 4-property, you know, all in one deal kind of thing. I might be picking up multiple properties from the same person.
Yeah.
And that I call
that's
that
a great.
Deal. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I ask this question to a lot of people that are very successful, but not in real estate and other types of business. You know what they say to this question?
What's that?
One.
A what?
One deal in my pipeline right now. Ooh, and they mean by that cool. Deals for them. They're not as deal driven as real estate people are.
Yeah.
You know, they don't, we're very used to having 700 properties to review and 10 more coming in tomorrow and the whole thing. A lot of very successful people hyper focus on one thing and they make it work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a one acquisition of a company, or the commercial real estate guys will really only look at maybe one or two, you know, large properties to buy, and then they'll concentrate on leasing them up or doing whatever it takes, cleaning them up and then reselling them for more on a better cap rate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it takes an interesting personality. I have a personality where I like to have 500 deals coming in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't you?
I do, because it makes my job easy and fun.
Yeah, you just pick
go,
the best ones.
No. Yeah. Ooh, yes. No.
Exactly.
Yes. You know, kind of thing. And again, a lot of them, there's not a lot of no's. It's just like, it's just the price that's we need to negotiate, you know?
Yeah. It's I remember saying this all the time. Yeah. I'm not saying no at all. I would do want to buy the property. I just can't do it this month because you're number 92.
Mm-hmm.
Which no one really wants to hear, but they always end up, you know, they end up selling it to you. They wait.
Yeah, they do.
So on the flip side, what's, you know, we all need a good sales process, and not just the acquisition, but releasing the sales process. What do you do there?
I have a system, and it's taken years to get to this point, but it's really important to have a good system to make it easy for not only my buyers, but also my staff. So one of the things I do is way back before I buy the property, I start a process. So let me back up. For example, you know, I'm negotiating with this guy on the price of this property this week, you know, and he's one of many, but as I'm looking up the property and I'm looking at maps and doing some stuff, I'm already taking pictures, screenshots, things like that, for all my engineering, for my staff, and when it comes time to market it and sell it, I already have this stuff going. So does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
There's a whole process, and it starts from the very beginning. So then when it comes time to, you know, hey, you know, Erin, I need you to get this one out there for sale, blah, 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 whatever. She's already got things that she can work with, and a lot of the stuff's already done. So it's part of the whole process.
So you start the sales process right when you buy it or before
yes.
you buy it.
Exactly.
I thought you were going to answer it differently. I thought you were going to say, you know, we make sure it's sold before we buy it. Because in the early days, that's what I used to do.
Sometimes. That's very true. Sometimes that is. That's a good point. Because there's properties that come in that I know, oh, I know right away who's going to want this one. That's very true. And I love that.
You know, I keep coming back to interviewing other people. And you know what they say to this question usually? Oh, no. We already know what's going to happen long, long before we buy the asset. We know how it's all the sale piece is going to go. We focus almost exclusively on how inexpensively we can buy the asset, because we already know what we're going to do with it when we sell it.
True.
And that seems to really separate successful people with people who are kind of on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think there's a piece of property that I have ever, with mm-hmm. very few exceptions, I know how it's all going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
The only variable is time. It always sells.
Well, and what price I want to do it. It depends on how I want to sell it. Do I want to sell it for cash right now and build up my cash balance for future acquisitions? Or do I want to sell it for terms and, you know, and roll it into that?
Right. God, so, you make it sound so easy.
It is that easy.
Is it really?
What's that?
What's the catch? Why doesn't everybody do this?
Why do I get asked that every single time? Just kidding. What is the catch? The catch is you got to buy it right. Seriously. You have to buy it right. That's it. If you don't buy it right, you've already lost. You're sunk.
Hey, is that the next answer to the next question?
I don't know. What is the next?
Give us some inside track advice, you know, something that really makes your life easier and more profitable every day. like something that a person starting out could benefit from.
Okay. I spent some time on this one and I really thought about this. I'm like, okay, what is something that someone could have, I wish someone would have told me a long time ago. And one thing that I see other people doing and getting hung up on. And I think what I wish someone would have taken me aside and had a chat with me and said, if you're going to do this, do it right. Spend some money on the important things and cut corners on the other things. So, for example, if you don't spend some money and get really good data up front, it doesn't matter how beautiful your mailers are, they're going to the wrong people. Invest in, and we use CoreLogic, love it, you know, and then cut corners on maybe your office is in your garage or your basement. Maybe you don't have business cards yet. You know, let's think about this. Spend money on the good stuff. You know, you're doing the work, not a virtual assistant. You're not spending the money there. You're doing it. But again, you got the data you invested in the front end. You got that good quality data to work with. You have the addresses, the properties. You've isolated exactly what you want. You'd invest a little bit in it up front, but yeah. My goodness, it's going to save you so much down the road. It's amazing. You know?
I'm going to call CoreLogic and ask them. CoreLogic is our data, where we buy our data. I'm going to ask them if we can be like a sponsor. Or they can be our sponsor because, you know, I'm just saying this to the audience. We have no affiliation with them at all. And I wonder how much money they make because that's all we talk about all day is CoreLogic.
And isn't the funniest thing? I should be getting paid by them and we're not.
No.
So
I know for sure you're not saving any money on your office because I saw your private bathroom and the lakefront thing and the Porsche sitting outside.
Well, hold on a moment.
Did you get your nails done today too?
Stop it. I didn't say, I said in the beginning.
Oh.
Beginning.
I see.
You said starting out, not at me. I love it. Yes, I know. I'm looking at the ducks out the window right now, as a matter of fact.
I think we have the only waterfront office in Arizona. With an executive bathroom. If someone out there has an executive bathroom office that with all glass in front of a lake, please call me. I want to see it.
And if you're in Arizona, that makes it.
That's what I mean.
It's hard.
Oh yeah, California or Michigan, you can. That's easy.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
All right. So next question, and we're getting close to the end here. What's the one resource that you couldn't succeed without?
No, it comes back to CoreLogic. I use it on the front end. I use it.
Oh, still CoreLogic. Okay.
I know. I mean,
no, that's fine.
Seriously, if you took that away from me, I would have. I mean, I could figure stuff out, but let's just say my life is so much easier.
We'd have to go to Winnebago and go to tax auctions all over the country.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. How would I get by without them? It would be very difficult. I'd be driving for dollars. Just kidding.
So for those of you who don't know, Jill and I have made a side career out of bashing the concept called driving for dollars, where you get in your car and you waste half your day driving around looking at houses that look like you might want to buy them. In reality, the physical asset that you're buying is maybe the last thing you should be looking at in real estate during according to our methodology. Hey, did I do that justice?
Wait, what'd you describe? I have a story to tell you. Wait a minute. I'm watching in Bigger Pockets. I'm reading in Bigger Pockets since these guys are going back and forth about driving for dollars and like patting each other on the back. And I'm like, you guys are crazy. And I did chime in on this. This guy, he spent all day driving for dollars. He took out 8 business cards. I will not forget this because I'm like, 8 business cards? Yeah, he was very proud of himself that he handed out. He spent 8 hours or maybe more, I don't know, driving neighborhoods. And he was very proud and felt like it was a success because he gave out 8 business cards. Could you, if I spent all day and I've only reached 8 people, what? That's, and I feel good about that. So yeah, I in a very nice way said, oh my gosh, let's all talk about this, everyone. How about instead of 8, you hit 8,000?
What did they say?
Just a thought. Well, I made them all think it was the funniest thing. So it's an ongoing thing. It's awesome. No, I really.
Oh, good. It's not over yet.
Oh, no. And I know that I struck a, you know, it's a valid point. And I've got them now thinking about this. Come on, everybody. This, what we do for land is also for homes. I mean, you know, apartment buildings. I mean, dream it up.
It's hard to convey this concept to people who are newer in the business that the asset you're buying, the piece of real estate, I know we're all in the real estate business, but the piece of real estate that you're buying is not the primary thing that you need to be looking at. That's just kind of incidental. What you really need to look at is how much it costs, what you can sell it for, and kind of think of it as an ashtray or something, or a mouse pad or anything that you can think of, because it might as well be that. Mm-hmm. It's not really about that asset. And driving for dollars is just making it all about that asset and not the structure of the deal the price.
Right.
8 business cards.
That was the funniest thing to me. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I had to really, you know me, I was very careful how I worded it. I didn't want to offend the guy, but I wanted to say, hey, you know, I really in a nice way said, have you considered this?
Sure.
And he was like, oh, you know, and I really sincerely think that there's a lot of people out there that don't even know about this. He didn't even think that this, he didn't know this existed. And I'm like, yeah, did you know you can get this data and for exactly what you want? You know, if you want to do all 3-bedroom, 2-bath homes in this price range in this county and blast them all at once instead of 3 streets at a time, you know, you can do that. And he's like, I didn't know. I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, your time's valuable.
I'm writing a whole program on this exact topic about wholesaling houses and how you have to hold the way to wholesale a house to find an act. It's the same thing like you're doing with land where you buy it. You have to buy it's really so you have to buy it for about half of what it's really worth. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do that is to target properties that have no mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not hard.
Right.
You know, if you have the right data and the right data person, hopefully it's you, to send the right mailers out to the right people at the right time, you're going to get, we've done it. We do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we buy houses that way all the time. And I never go look at the house because it's so cheap that I know who I'm going to sell it to based on its geography. And that guy's going to do all the work. Mm-hmm. He's going to, you know, you don't want to ever lift a hammer in that business.
Mm-mm.
You want to sit at the desk and know how to do a mailer. Mm-hmm. Just like we do, you do.
Exactly.
So if you had to start all over tomorrow morning, knowing what you know now, what would you do? You know, and I ask this because a ton of our listeners, they're starting out, you know, with very, very limited amount of money and a limited amount of realistic advice.
Okay.
What would you
do? I would focus on large acreage properties west of the Mississippi. So here's what I would do. The only things I really need to invest on is getting this data. I mean, everything else I can scrimp on. I don't care where I'm working. I'm doing it on the side. I'm doing it part-time. I don't have business cards. You know, I'm just kind of getting going. I need to get some properties.
Oh, you're painting a great picture. Go ahead.
So I would reach out to large acreage properties with some really good offers, and I would try to negotiate some options, situations, which is, you know, Mr. Smith calls me back. He's got 40 acres in, you know, Hudspeth County, Texas, who knows, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's happy with $3,000. I know the thing's worth $9,000, you know, so
right.
I'm going to work out an agreement with him that, and I could sell it fast for $9,000, by the way. I could sell it slow other ways, but I just want to get some cash going. So I work out an agreement with you know, Mr. Smith, and I send him and I can make this up myself too, just a little, you know, 1 or 2 page, you know, options agreement and saying, hey, here's the deal. I'm going to market this. I'm going to sell it for you and I'm going to get you your $3,000. I need 60 days or whatever it is. And Mr. Smith says, great. Hey, you get me $3,000 in 60 days. I'm happy. It's yours. I'm good. But where do I sign? And then I go to town and I market it all over the place. And then when I get my $9,000, I pay him the $3,000 and I just made $6,000 and I'm doing this over and over and over again. And I didn't put out any money.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I could do this just a few hours every Sunday,
yep.
You know, and I could build up, you know, quite a bank balance.
That's fantastic advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. People hear it all the time, but I don't have any money. I can't do this. Oh, come on. You got to get creative then.
There's way more money out there. I've said this a million times. There's way more money out there than there is talent.
Mm-hmm.
So if you practice Yeah, that's another thing that people in the real estate business, the first thing they run out and do is get a deal under contract and then wonder if they should do it. You know, it's more about the deal than what you just described. Mm-hmm. If you establish a mechanism like you just described to control the transaction and then decide what to do with it after that happens, mm-hmm. based on some research you did, you're always going to win. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't cost anything. And, you know, and you're accumulating good A-list buyers while it's happening and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And you're learning how to market it. You know, you're getting your system down.
Right.
You know, okay, now I got to figure out, okay, I'm going to put it, where am I going to put it first? Craigslist. I don't know. It's mm-hmm. free. Okay, fine. Now I'm going to put it on eBay. Now I'm going to, hey, by the way, now I'm going to work on my website. And oh gosh, now it's another Sunday. Now I have another property. Now I have two for sale. Oh, now I have three for sale. You just keep on going. Then you have 40 before you know it, you know, and you got that cash.
Right. I want to tell you a super quick story. A lot of years ago, I had one of those corporate jobs you were talking about, and mm-hmm. It was back east, and I went to the bank lived in an apartment, but I went to the bank to buy, or to get a loan to buy a house to rent it out. You know, like I think a lot of people probably are doing that right now listening to this show. Mm-hmm. And the bank said, you're off your rocker. You know, you have no experience in this at all. You're not going to live there. You're mm-hmm. just going to rent it out. So you know what I did? This is before the internet. I put an ad in the paper. And I rented the place out before mm-hmm. I even owned it at all, before I even had it under contract, before the seller even knew that I existed on the planet.
That's awesome.
And then I went back to the bank and said, this person's ready to rent the thing for X, Y, and Z. And you know what? I didn't pull the trigger on the deal because I changed job locations, but all it takes is a couple more steps, mm-hmm. like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you're going to do with the asset before you actually buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great advice, Jill.
It really is. Well, you know, and you and I know that we have people coming to us all the time with money out there that they want to invest. They don't want to do the work or they don't know how to do it. That's a whole nother thing, too.
Yeah.
So, but they would love to get 10, if you could get promised 10, 15% back.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Oh, man.
I know.
Especially rooted in real estate, you know, backed by mm-hmm. real estate.
Exactly.
All right. This is the rapid fire question portion of the program. And I'm getting mixed reviews on this because the show's kind of new.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you some fast questions. Maybe you can keep your answers to one, maybe two sentences. All right.
Okay.
What did you want to do?
Can we preface this by saying I have not read these questions yet?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So just so everybody knows, if I come across sounding like a ding-dong or something, like, what was that?
Hey, if anyone's going to sound like a ding-dong on this show, it's me.
Okay, thank you. I have not heard these questions. Okay, so I'm ready.
What did you do for a living when you were a kid? Or what did you want to do for a living when you were a kid?
Be an architect.
Really? I got to ask you about that later. Mm-hmm. You know, we should talk more, even though we work at the same company. You have some interesting stuff to say.
Well, it helps our offices are not in the same location, which is fine.
I got the Mountain View. You got the Lake View. We're fine.
Exactly.
What's the best advice you ever received and by whom?
The best advice was sometimes just act like you know what you're doing and it's all going to work out.
Is that what you're doing here? Is that what's been going on?
That's not what it's going on, but I'll tell you more about that later. And it was by
You've
my dad.
You've been faking this whole career, haven't you?
Totally.
What circumstance do you always walk away from?
Oh my gosh. Circumstance I always walk away from.
I know it's hard for
people who talk too much. I don't know.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know. I don't even know.
That's how I would answer that.
I don't know. Are crazy people, mean people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of patience. Although I still try to win them over, so I don't know. I'm pretty easygoing. I'm from California.
Who do you rely on the most?
Myself.
Excellent. Is there a good book you can recommend for listeners?
Mine.
You know, that's
gotta wait a few months.
There's a section at the end where we plug everything. We can plug our guests can plug their own stuff, but no, you jumped right into it.
I didn't even know. I'm sorry. Okay.
Take a second. Let me get these.
We'll just go with that.
Hey, let's play the word association game. I'm going to say a few words.
Oh, no.
And then just say a single word that comes to your mind. And I'll tell you, I don't have a list of words. I just do this on a guest-specific basis. So.
Oh, no. Is this new? Is this a new? We're gonna test this on Jill, and the next person, we're going to ditch it.
Well, I've done it twice already, and it's actually pretty funny.
Okay.
It's really telling about why people are successful, and it's very telling.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
The show is probably going to crash and burn and no one's going to listen to it, but I think it's a lot of fun.
Oh, totally.
Coffee.
Caffeine.
Hunter Green.
My car.
This isn't fair.
That almost vintage Porsche in the parking lot.
That just means an old, rusty, mid-80s car to me. That's why I said it.
80s, thank you very much. So, anyway.
California.
Beach.
Pipercraft.
Pipercraft?
Yeah.
Like in the airplane? It's not like Piper, yeah. Piper Cherokee, but.
Thanks for correcting me.
You're welcome.
Correcting the host and your boss.
Thanks. What?
How about boss?
Ugh. that was my answer. I prefer to stay away from, I prefer not to have one.
Easement.
Access.
Nice. Grand Canyon.
Asset.
Cactus.
Pretty.
Taco Tuesday.
Margaritas and Tecate Light.
Nice. Four-year college degree.
Ooh. Not always a fan.
Excellent. Revenue.
Yay. Why get up?
Nail polish.
Oh my gosh. I need to get my nails done.
All right. Last one. Exit strategy.
Boat.
Oh, that's great. Like living on a boat.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's fun. You got to do that for everybody.
I do. I've done it twice already, and it is a lot of fun. Okay, maybe I should put it in the front of the show. I don't know.
No, I like it at the end.
Okay. You want to do me?
Yeah. Oh, let me think about this one.
That's why this is fun.
Yeah. Are we too much time? Is this okay?
I don't know. It's coming out on an hour. I don't care. If anybody else is listening by this point, they've got bigger problems than us.
Well, here's what's happened. Number one, your producers in Chicago are ticked. That's what's going to happen first when they get this because it's too long. And then number two, should they air the whole thing, people are driving around their parking lot and they're late for work right now.
That's the best thing that can happen.
But that's okay because you know what?
That's the case.
I hope that they're driving around the parking lot because right now they're rethinking going into the office. They are right now going, should I go in there? Am I wasting my time? Am I losing money punching the time clock? Because you just might be. So, I like this. All right. Let me think of some good questions for you. Forest.
Profit.
Cabin.
Retirement.
Children.
Fun.
Roller coasters.
Pass.
I knew that was coming. Oh.
Did you write these down?
No, I'm just kind of thinking them up. So,
God, this has nothing to do with real estate or being successful or anything.
Anybody that knows Steven knows that. Anybody that knows that I'm the roller coaster person, you are not the roller coaster person. Yeah. That's really good. All right.
Hold on. All right. Two more because we really are at an hour now.
All right. Two more. Fancy restaurant.
Skip lunch.
Exit strategy.
Oh, man. You just, my prelude into the whole last thing here. Exit strategy for me is probably, teaching.
Oh, Love it.
Okay, yeah, that's the last question that I'm asking everybody is, how do you know you're done? You know, what is your exit strategy? What events or circumstances do you have in your head? I really think it's good to go into everything kind of knowing how it's going to end, like you do with these acquisitions.
Yeah.
How do you know this whole thing's going to end for you? What's your exit strategy here? And then we're going to talk about your book.
Well, I have been doing my exit strategy. And I tell people that all the time. Work it backwards. You know, even when I see people in bigger pockets talking about, I want to be a corporate, I only want to do corporate blah, 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 real estate or whatever they're looking at doing. I don't know. I always tell them, all right, guys, let's work it backwards. Figure out where you want to be in 2, 3, 5, whatever many years right now. And don't waste your time, because I hear them going down the wrong path. I think I should start in this area and then learn this area and this area. Yeah. I'm like, hold on a moment. None of those things are going to help you if this is really what you want to do. You know, you don't, if you want to be a surgeon, you go to medical school. You do all these things. You don't learn to do this first because, you know, I don't know.
I talk about that in our program, in the DVD program. Mm-hmm. You know, if you sit down, really, it doesn't take any money or time to do this. Sit down for a second and imagine what you want. I mean, sit down and close your eyes and think about what your desks looks like. Or mm-hmm. a lot of young men in particular have a car that they want. And so they just, you know, they envision that car. And if you think about it enough and take the steps to do it, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I guess for me, I'll know I'm done when I'm still able to help. I love having my hand in stuff and doing the fun parts of this. I really do, especially like the acquisitions. Love it. I get a kick out of it. And I love helping people and getting them up to whatever level they want to do. And even if it's just, I don't know, pay off a kid's college or, you know, buy a vacation home or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I'll know I'm there when I'm doing it from 35,000 feet. And I mean literally from 35,000 feet.
Right.
That's what I would love.
All right. So what's your book about?
Oh. Do we need to get into that now? It's already an hour.
Yeah. This is the last part of the show. Okay. I do. I want to talk because, you know what? This is maybe more for me than people are listening.
Well, it's still, there's a lot of form. There's a lot of forming that's still going on. You know, like what we've done with Land Academy, you know, it's not finalized yet. So women in this world and being successful.
That's great. The
different challenges and I guess it's really about that. But having said that, it's not a chick book by any means. It's for professional, successful women. So
women who are already successful, or women who are trying to be successful, or
define success.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. Isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
Do you sit around and look at yourself in the mirror and say, "Man, that's one successful person"?
Absolutely, all the time.
I know we do really well financially and stuff, and I haven't missed a meal in quite some time, but yeah. I don't sit around and like say, man, I'm successful. I guess I'm always thinking of the next thing.
Boy, I love my hair. No, I'm just
kidding. All right. Jill, thank you so much. Again, it's an honor to have you as a the episode one guest, anyway, first aired guest on our new show. I think your approach to this whole thing I took the company only so far, and I think that you've taken it to a much better, higher, better step. So thank you for being on the show, and I hope if everything goes well, you're going to be a regular.
Absolutely.
If you have a question about how to buy property super cheap and sell it for more, let us know at 888-735-5045. Jill and I will try to get your message on the air. Every single month, we give away a property for free. No strings, no funny business. It's super simple to qualify. Two simple steps. Leave us your feedback for this podcast on iTunes. And number two, get the free ebook at landacademy.com. You don't even have to read it. Now let's go buy some property.